Hello, welcome to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. On today's episode, we are asking the question, are the Sharks one of the five worst teams in the NHL? And I'm going to go through the Sharks roster, look at the rest of the NHL landscape, and try to see if the Sharks are actually one of the five worst teams in the NHL heading into this season. All that and more on today's episode of Locked on Sharks.
Your Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, JD Young, contributor at Fear the Fin and San Jose Hockey Now. I want to, of course, thank you guys for making Locked on Sharks your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. We're available on YouTube, and we're your team every day, or at least 3 days a week right now until the season gets started again. So, if you've been kind of following me along on social media and stuff, and, you know, I've been very kind of adamant that the Sharks are going to be one of the five worst teams in the NHL. And today I'm going to do the math and prove why I think the Sharks are one of the five worst teams heading into this season. And guess what, guys? There's nothing wrong with being one of the five worst teams in the NHL, especially in the 2023 draft, which is going to be insane. So, again, I'm not just kind of like picking this, you know, the Sharks are going to be one of the five worst teams. If you look at like Tankathon, which, you know, has been a friend to the show by, you know, where keeping track of where teams are kind of at when it comes towards, you know, the draft lottery. You know, you look at our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline currently has the Sharks as the fourth worst odds to win the Stanley Cup at plus 12,500. So if you're kind of new to gambling or that, what does that number mean? Basically, if you bet $100 and the Sharks win the Stanley Cup, you would get $12,500 for your $100 bet as the fourth worst odds in all of the NHL. So, and I know winning the Stanley Cup isn't, you know, you can be a good team and not win the Stanley Cup. And the Sharks have proven that time and time and again, but it's a good barometer of kind of stacking where the teams are at heading into the season. You know, of course, the teams with the that might win the cup or have, you know, good chances in the cup, they're going to have much better odds, right? And then these long shot teams are going to have worse odds because that's what happens. And yes, teams come out of nowhere to win the cup and, you know, be much better than they expected. And, you know, betting isn't a perfect science. And but, you know, these sports books, they don't like to lose money, so they're usually really, you know, pretty accurate with kind of where they kind of project teams to be. So, you know, and my big thing with the Sharks is the reason why they're kind of looked at so poorly is because of the team doesn't really have a lot of upside. And yes, I know the Sharks added a bunch of NHL caliber players to the roster this season, right? They had like Luke Kunin, Matt Benning, Steven Lorenz, Marcus Njivara, Nico Sturm, Oscar Lindblom. Like all these guys were added to the Sharks by GM Mike Greer. And you're thinking, well, JD, these guys are probably better than some of the guys that were on the roster last year. You know, if we look at, you know, guys who played games for the Sharks last year, you know, like, you know, Sasha Chmielewski, who we've all liked, but, you know, played 19 games for the Sharks last year, you know, had 8 points. Jeffrey Viel, and, you know, it's a lot of people like Viel, and same thing with Jonah Gadovich. You know, these guys, kind of bottom six guys who, you know, didn't really, you know, they played a fair amount of games, but didn't really add too much scoring punch. Well, you know, the Sharks, the thought is, okay, well, now instead of having a bunch of kind of NHL, AHL tweeners, we have actual NHL caliber players on the team. The Sharks should be a better team, right? Maybe not. So let's look at some of these parts they added and kind of what they did last year, right? So, you know, Luke Kuechnen had 13 goals and 22 points on a Preds team that went to the playoffs. Yes, they got smoked in the first round by the Avs. So, okay, 22 points on a better team. Matt Benning, 11 assists on a Preds team. Again, Matt Benning's not, his job is not to provide you offense, but Steven Lorenz, who, you know, played 63 games for the Hurricanes last year, 8 goals, 13 points. Marcus Nivara played 1 game last year, missed the entire season. He's coming back from an injury. You know, so, and again, he hasn't really played a lot of NHL games. Nico Sturm, 9 goals, 20 points for last year between the Wild and the Avalanche. So, and then of course, so like all these guys here are kind of NHL replacement level players. Like, you wouldn't be surprised any given night if, you know, Nico Sturm is scratched tonight because they want to give someone else a look, or, you know, Steven Lorenz plays in the AHL this year. You know, I know he's on a one-way deal and he would have to, but you get what I'm saying, right? Where these guys, none of these guys are like count locks. Like, yes, this guy needs to be in the lineup every night, right? Out of all those guys, so a lot of these guys are probably going to be floating in and out of the lineup, to be honest, throughout the season. So, and the guys, you know, like Matt Benning, who's probably going to play a majority of the games, you know, 11 assists on a Preds team that was made the playoffs last year. And yes, I know they have much better defensemen, but Matt Benning's probably going to be playing a similar type of bottom pairing role for the Sharks. So do you expect him to increase on those 11 assists last year to on a team that's not going to score as many goals? So, and then I guess Oscar Lindblom, who, you know, he does have some upside. Like, he was well on his way to being a middle six player. But of course, you know, he dealing with, you know, his cancer diagnosis and coming back from that. And, you know, last year he had 12 goals and 26 points in his kind of first full season back from that. And you expect him to continue to get better, you know. And I think Lindblom could be a potential 20-25 goal guy. You know, if you go back to his first full season with the Flyers, the 18-19 season, he had 17 goals and 33 points in his first full season. I mean, the Flyers were a little bit better team back then. But, you know, there is some actual upside with the Lindblom signing. But still, he's still working his way back from cancer. And you don't know if he's ever going to be that same guy again. You know, he talked about just building up his strength again. And, you know, it's such a long process with how terrible of a disease cancer is for him and or for anybody, you know. And I it's commendable that he's made, you know, that he's back and playing in the NHL, but, you know, thinking that he can ever get back to the level that he was before he got cancer, it's you know, I don't know if he can. And I think thinking that he can ever be that player again is, it's, you know, you just got to say that it's probably not going to be the same. He's not going to be the same guy. So, all right. So if you kind of look at, you know, if these guys just replicate their production, you know, which I think is still kind of asking a lot, since most of these guys came from better teams where you're going to be put in better situations to score, you know, like playing on the third line or playing on the fourth line, where you're not having to kind of work out of your element, right? So if you add up all their goals, if they just repeat their production, which I don't think is, but anyway, they had 42 goals between all those guys I mentioned. Brent Burns, no longer on the team. Jonathan Dahlin, no longer on the team. Rudolph Spalsters, no longer on the team. Those guys had 33 goals. Walked out the door. So you're taking more guys here in Nico Sturm, you know, Steven Lorenz, Luke Kuechnen, Oscar Lindblom, to kind of basically put up the same amount. That's if they replicate their same production on a worse team. What's probably going to be a worse team? So you're asking more guys to kind of do the same amount of goals. And it's not like all these guys are going to be in the lineup at the same time, right? You're going to have guys coming in and out, and, you know, they're going to probably want to start playing rookies at some point, et cetera, et cetera. So the guys who came in, none of these guys are kind of difference makers who are going to be able to help push your team kind of into that next level. Before we continue and look at maybe one of the guys on the Sharks team, which guys can maybe take a next step? Let's take a quick break. And of course, we need to let you guys know about how important it is to not drive drunk. We've all been there. You hang out with some friends, put back a few becomes too many. And as the evening comes to an end, people start to head out and you think of calling for a ride. You live nearby. You can make it at home. It's okay. It's not a big deal. What are the odds you're going to get pulled over, right? What's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up. You lose your license. You lose your job. Total your car. You kill somebody. Everyone knows about the risks of drunk driving. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, there still doesn't stop people from getting behind the wheel under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you're thinking about driving after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe. Plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes a few minutes to prevent one of the biggest mistakes of your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. All right. So we looked at some of the new additions and what, you know, none of these guys screams guys who are going to make a big jump, right? All these guys are going to come in and they're probably going to replicate pretty close to what they've done last year in the last couple seasons. And that's fine. These are NHL replacement caliber players. And that's fine. You know, the Sharks have more of those now than they did last year. But let's look at the actual Sharks roster and look at which guys maybe could take a big jump, right? So Hurdle last year, 30 goals, 64 points. I think Hurdle's basically who he is right now, right? He's probably going to be between the 60, 75 point range any given year. Timo Meier, career season last year, right? 35 goals, 76 points. I know this is a big year for Timo, contract season. Maybe he can, you know, what if he takes another step and flirts with 90 points? Or what if he goes back to what we've seen the last couple of years? Or what if the contract talk starts to weigh on him? Hurdle talked about that where, you know, he would go through stretches, you know, where he didn't play as well because this thing is just lingering over you. And after he got his contract done, he said how much of a relief it was. He could play kind of freer without having to deal with it. And, you know, so we don't know what Timo, you know, and Timo, bit of a streaky guy anyway. I mean, we can see where he can put up 5 goals in a night. We've seen that before. And we can see where he can kind of go games where he kind of disappears and stuff. And, you know, so I think Timo, if he's maybe a point per player guy, which I think is kind of where he slots in as, okay, that's basically what he did last year, right? You know, he had 76 points and I think like 77 games last season. So, he had 76 points in 77 games. So, you know, if he's basically a points per player guy, I think that's what Timo is, you know. Logan Couture, last year had 23 goals, 56 points. So maybe I think with him, you know, he is getting a little bit older, but if he's got better line mates, you know, and he's not playing with the Noah Gregors and Nick Benitos of the world, maybe we see a jump from him in points and maybe he gets closer to like, you know, instead of the 56, maybe he's also, you know, 60, 65, maybe flirting with 70. But Couture's also struggled to stay healthy the past couple of years. And, you know, so you wonder if, you know, is he going to be able to continue to do that, especially with having to play the minutes that he's had to play because, you know, he's having to be their top penalty killer and he's having to, you know, kind of play these tough minutes and play these defensive zone minutes. All right. Then we look at Alexander Barabanov, right? 10 goals last season, 39 points. I think that's who Alexander Barabanov is. And, you know, he's 27, 28 right now. Is he going to get much better? Maybe. Who knows? But I think he was also playing with Timo Meier and Tomas Hertl the entire season. So I think that's kind of who he is probably a 40 to 50 point player. You know, then you look at Nick Bonino. He had 16 goals last year and 26 points. he was fourth on the team in goals last season, which is kind of insane. I forget that, but he's going to be 34, and is he going to be continue to score close to 20 goals a season? I don't know. Nick Bonino, the goal scorer, is, you know, not really kind of his thing, but maybe, maybe, you know, you look at, he's had one season over 20 goals, and that was the 2013-2014 season. And then every year it's, you know, kind of 10 to 18 goals. So he's probably going to be probably in that same range again. So, okay. So he's probably going to be about the same. Noah Gregor, maybe here. 8 goals last year and 23 points with his like 6% shooting percentage or 5% shooting percentage. So he's a regression to the mean candidate, where some of those goals that missed last year go in this year, and maybe you see his goal production go from 8 to 15 type of season. So again, so we found one, guys. Noah Gregor as a potential guy who, you know, can add some more secondary scoring. So, but again, he's probably not going to be playing second line minutes this year. I think he did settle in really nice on the third line with Bordalo last year, and maybe having a better playmaker center, like if Bordalo is playing, could do him some good. But you know, again, he solidified himself as an NHL player, but now we need to see him kind of be the goal scorer that we're really hoping for him. So Kevin LeBanc missed basically most of the last year. You know, he got hurt in December with a shoulder injury. Could he return to form? But I mean, Kevin LeBanc, ever since signing that, you know, that 1-year contract, just hasn't been the same guy. You know, he had 56 points, and then 33, and then 28. And then he had 6 points last year in 21 games. Like, that's 4, you know. So throughout a season at that rate, he's going to have basically 24 points. That doesn't really sound like a guy that's, yeah. Maybe he comes back, but I mean, at this point, he needs to actually prove it. I mean, he was getting healthy scratched before he got his injury. So, and then some of the young guys, you know, Eklund and Borlo, are they going to come out and be Calder-worthy players? We saw flashes in their short, you know, times last year, but, you know, going, you know, 8 or 9 games doesn't make a full season, right? I mean, we saw that with Dahlin last year, who came out of the gates on fire, but then got hurt and wasn't really the same guy and is now not even in the organization anymore. You know, and the Reedy and Weatherby guys who were kind of helped provide scoring, but it's a much, you know, it's going to be harder for them to make the team with some of these guys in front of them. So but the forwards, you have Noah Gregor who could potentially make a jump. Eklund and Borlo, who are both going to be rookies. Kevin LeBanc is coming back from an injury. Yeah. They look at the defense. Erik Karlsson, okay. 10 goals, 35 points in 50 games last year. So he's a potential if he can stay healthy, which has always been his thing. But he's going to have much better opportunities now with Brent Burns leaving. He's going to be soaking up a majority of that, you know, of those kind of primo opportunities for him. So, and then Mario Ferraro, potentially. I mean, he's had 14 points or, you know, the last 2 seasons and 2 goals. You think? And he wants to kind of prove his offensive capability a little bit more. Again, with Brent Burns leaving, might be able to get some more opportunity there. But still, you're losing a 50-60-point guy in Brent Burns, and now you're trying to kind of piece together these points with Erik Karlsson, who could show that he can do it, but hasn't been healthy for an entire season in a while. And Mario Ferraro, who we don't know. So, and you look at the goalies, right? James Reimer, who last year played the most games he's ever played in a season. He's 34 years old right now, had a .911 save percentage. But if you look at Reimer's history the past couple of years, where he, you know, he'll have a really nice season and then he follows it up with a down season. So, you know, going back the 2017-2018 season with the Panthers, .913 save percentage. He played 44 games that year. Next year, in 36 games, he had a .900 save percentage. You know, I mean, I know save percentage is everything, but I'm just trying, you know, trying to find something that we can compare, right? Then the 1920 season with Carolina had a really nice season for them. You know, 25 games, .914 save percentage. Next year, 22 games for the Canes, .906 save percentage. Last year, 48 games with the Sharks, and we saw him wear down at the end of the season, .911 save percentage. This year, I don't expect him to play as many games, but those miles kind of add up, right? And so can we realistically expect James Reimer to repeat the same season he had last year? I don't think so, to be honest. I mean, I know he's going to play less games this year, but I don't see him having the same type of season again. You know, Aiden Hill, how is he going to be coming back from the injury? Last year, he played 25 games, as much as he played in an NHL season, and he couldn't even get through half the season before he wore down. So I know he hasn't shown injury history before, but is he going to be the same guy? And we saw that glove hand of his was brutal at times last year. So hopefully maybe during his rehab, he's been able to work on that. And, you know, so is he even going to be on the team? You know, the Kaapo Kähkönen, who I think we're going to see him, you know, I think he's got a really good chance to continue to build and you know, have a nice season this year. You know, he's going to have a full off season with the Sharks. Has, you know, every year has played more and more games. 36 games last year while improving his save percentage. So I think this is the year where we see Kaapo Kähkönen really kind of take the mantle and become an NHL starting goaltender. All right, before we look at kind of the rest of the NHL and where the Sharks fit into that, let's take a quick break. Let you guys know, of course, about the Locked On NHL channel. So once you guys are done listening to this, make sure you guys go check out Locked On NHL. You know, they've got you covered. They're still pumping out content all the time. They just finished up their division by division power rankings. Spoiler, the Sharks were eighth in the Pacific, but you know, you can kind of go check that out, see where the Sharks stack up, kind of see how the other divisions are stacking up. So make sure you guys go check out Locked On NHL wherever you get podcasts, and of course, subscribe over on YouTube as well. All right, so the Sharks, you know, they just don't have a lot of guys that you can kind of point to and be like, oh yeah, if this guy makes a leap, you know, if this guy, you know, makes kind of that jump that we're expecting him to have. And, you know, I think they have more solid players than they did last year, but I just don't see a big upside with some of these guys. Like, I just think you kind of know what you're getting out of all these guys. And then if you compare that to kind of the rest of the NHL, right? So again, going to our friends over at BetOnline, if you look at the odds for the, you know, who's going to win the Stanley Cup, you kind of have a nice, the poop-tacular, right? The Coyotes and the Blackhawks. And the Coyotes have been on this burn it down. We're going to the slow rebuild. We're going to take on bad contracts, take on assets. You know, we want to build through the draft and have a bunch of young stars that we can kind of, you know, build around, especially whenever they open up their new arena, whenever that is. So they kind of want it all to kind of culminate at the same time, right? You know, and the Blackhawks, they spent this offseason burning it down. You know, they traded Alex DeBrincat. You know, they went from zero draft picks in the first round to three draft picks in the first round in like 24 hours, right? So, you know, I like what they're doing. I like Krasinski. You know, I can see, you know, but again, they're going to be a team that's going to be really bad this year, and that's by design, okay? Then you look at kind of the next team, the Canadiens, who are at plus 15,000. You know, Carey Price, he's probably going to be gone for the entire season, you know, and his career might be done, which is unfortunate because, you know, I love watching Carey Price. He's a great goaltender. You know, but they do have a lot of younger guys that are starting to kind of make their, you know, kind of make their stamp, you know. And they were such a better team after Martin St. Louis took over last season, right? And, you know, if Cole Caulfield takes that kind of next step and becomes, you know, a 30, potentially 40 goal scorer for them, Nick Suzuki cements himself as a first line center. like there's some pieces there. So, and you know, talking to my friends at Locked On Canadians, shout out Scott and Laura, you know, they think they're going to be kind of in that four, five, six kind of range when it comes to the draft, which is kind of an improvement over the worst team in the NHL that we saw last year, right? They look at the Kraken, who are tied with the Sharks at the plus 12,500. You know, but you can kind of point to them and be like, oh, well, you have Shane Wright and Matty Beniers, who are two top four draft picks. And Shane Wright was expected to be the number one pick until literally the day before the draft. Okay, that's a pretty solid start down the middle. You know, Grubauer, who had a terrible season last year, what if he kind of has that regression back towards being back to the mean, right? Where he's an okay starter now, instead of being one of the worst starters in the NHL. You know, they traded for Oliver Bjorkstrand, who's a legitimate 20-goal scorer. So they've added a couple pieces there, and that you're hoping, you know, some of these younger guys, you know, Matty Beniers, who I think is going to be like just, you know, if Matty Beniers is your 2C, you're going to be just fine. So, yeah, so they've got some pieces. They're still a young team, but, you know, I think we're going to continue to see just kind of incremental steps of improvement from them. So then you look at some of the other teams around the Sharks, right? The Flyers at plus 8,000, you know, they added Tony D'Angelo, who is a terrible person, but he can provide offense to that team. Carter Hart, you know, again, we've kind of seen with him as a goalie where he's shown flashes of being a guy, but then we've also seen that. So, if, you know, if he can stabilize, they're kind of a weird team where they think they want to try to win, but best position for them would be to not do that. But we'll see what the Flyers do. So, and then the Ducks are also at plus 8,000. And you're going to have McTavish, Zegras, Drysdale next year. Like, McTavish has looked awesome in juniors and, you know, looked was great in the World Junior Championship for them. Zegras, who, you know, shown that he's going to be a star last year for the Ducks, like they've got some pieces, and you know, they might still be a couple years away before they're starting to compete, but I just think they have much higher upside on their roster than the Sharks do right now. So, all right, so what does that mean? What does all this mean, JD? If you look at the production that the Sharks lost between Bolsters, Dahlin, and Brent Burns, and the guys they added, it's probably a wash for the most part, right? You know, it's probably going to be spread out between more guys with who they're on the roster. But, you know, I think the big thing with the Sharks is they just don't have a lot of upside guys where you can point to that guy and be like, yes, this guy can go from here to like up here type of guys, you know? And the guys that they do have big questions, you know, Erik Karlsson, who, you know, I'm a huge fan of Erik Karlsson, but is he, can he stay healthy for, you know, three-fourths of a season? Like, I'm not even asking for full season, like three-fourths of a season. You know, Lindblom, who was well on his way to being a very special, really potential special type of player for the Flyers before he, you know, got diagnosed with cancer. Is he ever going to be able to return to that? You know, Noah Gregor, can he hit the net? You know, Thomas Bortle, William Eklund, both are going to be rookie seasons. And, you know, I love both these players and I think they're going to be great, but I think it's a lot to ask for them to both kind of hit the ground running, you know, for the Sharks. And could that happen? Yes, that very well is in the range of possibilities, but what's more likely is they're going to show times where they're worth being in the lineup. And then they're going to have nights and stuff where they make rookie mistakes. And that's part of the process for them. Kevin LeBanc, who hasn't been the same guy for the past 3 years and is coming off a shoulder injury, you know, what if that shoulder just doesn't heal right with him? You know, and I think, and then Kaapo Kähkönen, who I think we expect him to kind of establish himself as an NHL caliber, you know, starting goaltender this season. So yes, the team has more NHL caliber players on them, but they're just not difference makers. Or, you know, some of these guys just have too many questions of where you can point to them being potential, you know, kind of difference makers. And they don't all need to be like 100-point guys, but like guys who can kind of fill those roles and, you know, like just night in, night out, you can count on them to help provide scoring, which is what the Sharks need, right? So I think they just have too few potential guys who are due for breakout seasons. you're going to have a better Pacific division, I believe, with, you know, the Kings are going to be good. The Oilers are going to be good. Calgary kind of figured themselves out this offseason. I think the Kraken are going to be better. I think Vancouver's going to be in the playoff mix. Who knows with Vegas? And the Ducks, you know, they have a bunch of young guys you can kind of point to and be like, oh, yeah, these guys are potential guys who can kind of make a big jump here. So, and just looking at the rest of the NHL, I think the Sharks are going to be one of the five worst teams in the NHL, guys. And that, this is why. I just don't think they have enough upside swings. So, and guess what? That's okay. All right. That's going to do it for me today. If you guys, you know, want to join me for the Tank Command, we're going to be full steam this year. That is fine. So make sure you guys check us out on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Locked On Sharks. You can, of course, listen wherever you get podcasts on Apple, Spotify, Odyssey. You can also subscribe on YouTube as well. And then make sure, again, when you guys are done listening to this episode, go check out Locked On NHL. They've got you covered there. You can find me on Twitter at MyFryHole. And we'll be back on Wednesday, where we have Sharks goalie prospect Mason Beaupet. So make sure you guys are subscribed for that. So you guys want to check that out. Super nice kid. Such a baby, but super nice kid. So just baby, like baby face, and not like a wah baby, but just a small child. Well, a big child. He's like 6'6", but really nice kid. Make sure you guys check that out on Wednesday, and that's gonna be it. Bye, friends.